When do you listen to them? Normally, I'm hearing those guys on the treadmill at the gym. Yes. Oh, this time and this time only. See, look where he says, it's a good thing to continue to pray in my language that I have given to you. I recently heard a message of Jim Martin, and he was reminding us of the Tower of Babel. And they were building this tower, and God says, you know, they're all of one mind and they're all of one language. They're one speech, and nothing that they have conceived in them is going to be withheld. They're going to be able to do this. So what did God do? He came down and he confounded their languages. All of a sudden, they can't speak to each other anymore. They're all speaking these different languages, and it stopped what they were doing, and they were scattered. But see, in these last days, God is building another tower. He's building the kingdom of God. He's gathering a group of people. Now, I'll read this to you. It's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Got it from Dr. Jim Martin. It's on page 1286 of your Bible, if that helps you. This will help you. It's right before Haggai and right after Habakkuk. It's Zephaniah 3:9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. God confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel to stop what man was going to do. But in his last days, he has given us a pure language that none of us can mess up, because we're not even the ones originating the language. It's him giving us a pure language by his Spirit, creating that language on the inside of you. Why? To not only build each one of us individually, but to hook us together the way the body's supposed to be hooked together, so that we can get this job done and harvest this earth, and we'll start the new heaven and the new earth eventually. It's a pure language. You can't mess it up. How many want that? If you pray in tongues, you're praying a pure language. You're praying everything that he has called, everything that he is. Okay. God. It's a good thing to continue to pray in my language that I have given to you. Now get this, for no matter what you feel like, you are not affecting the prayer that I am originating on the inside of you. In fact, I am working you for the day that you will be free and receive what I have for you. You will find out, boy, over these years, I have found this out, that no matter how downcast you feel, you are still able to pray in my supernatural language. Boy, I've been under assault with my emotions. I told him one time, I try to be honest, you know, try and be pretty transparent. Most of the time. I came to this one service a long time ago. I said, if I was going to go by what I feel, I'd just let you all go to hell. I said it from the pulpit. I did. I said, this is how I feel today. I don't know why I woke up. I don't care about you at all. But I came and I obeyed anyhow. You know what the title of that message is? Truth Changes Fact. Probably the most downloaded single message I've ever taught in my life. Didn't matter how I felt, did it? He was still able to flow through me. See? Well, he's saying in praying in tongues, it doesn't matter if you had the bluest Monday in the history of blue Mondays. If 14 devils named Samo are camped on your emotions, you can still pray in tongues. And it's a pure language that he gives you. And no matter how you feel, it does not affect that language. Dave always said, it doesn't matter the volume, whether, you know, loud or whisper. It's the syllables that matter. And they've got to be spoken for that authority to be released. It doesn't say he that thinks in an unknown tongue. Amen. No, he that speaks. Once you speak it, that's where authority is. Okay. God is selecting the prayer for you. When God says something is impossible, you reckon it is? I think so. It is impossible to pray in the Spirit any time without him going out ahead of you and working God's plan on purpose or purpose. That's the primary reason he leaves you out of it. It's a stroke of genius. God says, they want my will. They have no idea what it is. They want my plan. They have no idea how to get there. How in the world? What if I prayed for them? My spirit knows the plan, knows every step of the plan. If they would just allow my spirit to pray through them, then I could answer my perfect plan and they can never fail. I think I'll pray in tongues. Okay. The only thing, this is so important. The only thing he borrows from you is the authority that you have in your spirit. When he creates that language in your spirit and you say it. Before I even read that last sentence, now look up here at me. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. The next thing out of his mouth, therefore you go. How does he have authority on planet earth? Let me ask you this. When Sam Walton left this earth, did he still run the board meetings at Walmart? No, he lost his authority, didn't he? Well, wait a minute. Jesus, we know, in his glorified body is not on planet earth. In his glorified body, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So how does he have authority on earth? See, to have authority on earth, you got to have a body that's from the earth. Hello, body of Christ. Hello, body of Christ. That he needs you for the authority. And when you yield your tongue to him, you've got a tongue that's in a body from this earth that has authority here, but you are yielding to him to pray his perfect will through you with authority. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We are his body. It's important that you speak it. Glory to God. It's pretty hard to fail. When God is the one who is selecting the prayer for you according to his will and according to your call and purpose on this planet. Dave would say, you're the little piece of turkey in between. Remember the little sandwich? God the Holy Ghost, he prays up the prayer. God the Father is the top piece of the bread, you know. He answers the prayer and you're the turkey in between. You little turkey, you. Pretty hard to fail when God's praying for you. And runs around on the other side and answers the prayer. But the only way to fail is not pray. Or not be obedient. Okay, that's another lesson. I tell people all the time, I said the first level is getting to where you can hear God. The harder level is getting to where you hear him and obey him. Sometimes that takes more mortification. Be strong for your direction. Jim, Bronk, any minister that has a prayer line ever, the most number one requested thing, it's either sickness or I need direction. I don't know what God wants me to do. Let's see what God has to say about that. When you edify yourself from praying in the Holy Spirit, don't you know that there are those times when I am preparing you for something that I will have you do? Now get this, and without knowing it, you will build yourself up in revelation and edification in what it would take to handle that. So know this, when you are praying in tongues, you are working my plan in your life. So be strong and let me and my mind come in and order your edification prayers. Because you will see if you won't stop, the truth will keep getting stronger and stronger until your path becomes very clear to you. So be strong. Be strong for your direction. And let me amplify just a little bit from Pastor Dave. You don't always hear a voice. You can. I've heard him many times like that. Thou shalt this. He didn't say thou, really. You shall this, you shall that. Remember when Dave would say, God's plan for your life, his direction, his ministry will grow in you like a tree. You remember that? You may not ever hear move to Dayton. You may not ever hear start a Bible school with your spiritual ear. You may not actually hear it, but if you keep praying, it's going to keep growing in you. I want you to start a Bible study. What? Well, first, before that, I want you to get your doctorate. He didn't know why. Didn't have any clue why. I don't want to go back to school. I want you to get your doctorate. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to pray instead. Shandalabakota, I want you to get your doctorate. Didn't know what, but finally he couldn't resist. He knew it gets, I'll tell you what, it gets to the place where when you, it'll get so strong in you that not to do it is sin. Yeah. To him that knoweth and doeth it not, it'll be. And so he, all right, go get my doctorate. He didn't know at that time God was going to have him start a Bible school, an online Bible college that needs that doctorate as part of the authentication or accreditation or whatever it is process. He needed that credential of having a doctorate for what God called him to do. He didn't know all that in the beginning. When we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. And if you'll keep it up and keep it up, even if you never hear with your ear, even your spiritual ear, do this or do that, I think you will. But if even if you don't, his direction will grow in you. It'll be like a tree. And you'll have to, you say, I got to do this. I got to do it. It's what he wants from me. I know it is. Well, how do you know? I don't know how I know. I just know. It grew in you like a tree. How many wants that? If you pray in tongues, you'll have it. And if you don't, you won't. And you won't be able to blame God or your pastor. Or your wife either. Or your husband. Told you I'm a teacher. How many want to delight God? I like to delight him. How about this next one? He delights when things come to pass. Who do you think is going to be the most happy? Us or him the day that Tommy gets out of the chair? Him. Him, and he's been waiting a long time. And I just, every one of these is the same. I just have a real relationship with the Perez family. He delights in edifying you. You know, your flesh gets so tired praying in tongues. And the devil is really good at what he does, telling you it's not working. This isn't accomplishing anything. You might as well, you'd be better off watching a John Wayne movie. You'd be better off doing this. Go feed the poor. Do anything but pray. You know, the devil's relentless at telling you it's not working. But God says he delights in edifying you, encouraging you, and he delights when something that he has encouraged you in and given to you, that you begin to lift it up and walk in it. That's what I underlined. And walk in it. That it comes to pass. These things delight him. These things delight him. This is why he enjoys the time you spend in worship and the times you spend praying in your prayer language. The flesh gets so tired of praying, and God so enjoys it. Your spirit actually enjoys it. The kind of praying that makes the difference. Who wants a different kind? When I pray, I want it to make a difference. See? You cannot pray my mysteries out without them affecting what is happening. Now get this, on both an international and local level. For the more that you pray, don't you know it is your authority, but it is my mind. And you are releasing me to move in the kind of praying that makes the difference. Whew. The edification is about you. That I can build you up above anything, anything that you can move when I move and talk when I talk. So be strong and continue on the path that you are on. For you are scheduled to see mighty things that you will be delighted over, says the Lord. I'm about to convince myself to pray in tongues. When you pray something out, this I am pleased in, that one of the major sources to information is the language you speak when you pray in tongues. And when you pray something out, then you receive it and you will see it will be in your direction. Now get this, in the power you walk in, and even the teaching and preaching gifts you will possess. You will see all of these things will manifest. And you will see mighty things happen before I return. Boy, I want that. Don't you want that? Yes, sir. Serious about prayer. Every time my church during their dispensation would get serious on me and serious about prayer and fasting. The love, my love, it should be they that walk in it, would spring up time after time, because this is who and what I am, says the Lord. They will not travel down the path I have laid for them supernaturally without running into my love and me wanting to bring them forward into the fullness of it. For in that, meaning in that love, there is no fear. And in that, meaning that love, you will never fail. I'll never forget one of the meetings up at Jim Martin's church. Pastor Dave was there. And when he got through, he went back to rest just a little bit in Jim's office while we did some things at the ministry. And he says when he got back there, he says for about 1 or 2 minutes, wasn't very long, he said all of a sudden it's like I stepped over into the love of God. I stepped into this room. He said it was all I could take. I couldn't, it's like a glory that he couldn't stay in. But he said I got just a taste of it. What that true love of God is. See, and it's what he's talking about here. There was a prophecy that came forward quite a few years ago, and I don't have it with me, but I remember the image. The prophecy went something like this. Many, many devils are camped guarding that door of love. Because at all costs, here's a banner like in hell. At all costs, none may enter there. To really walk in the love of God. That's where the power really is. We know that. He says every time my church, in whatever dispensation they were in, any time they would get serious about prayer and fasting, they're going to enter into His love, more of it. I'm all about that. Let's enter into that love. I want to be one of those that opens that door and kicks every devil away from it. And we'll bring a horde of people through that. Hallelujah. Setting yourself a direction. When you worship and pray in the Spirit, you are setting yourself a direction. For you cannot worship and pray in the Spirit without setting yourself in a direction. It just can't happen. For when you do these things, you welcome me to come and to come in my strength and set your direction. I take great pleasure in answering your prayers and giving you the things that I have to give you. Well, I want him to have great pleasure all the time. I love the title of this one, Pray in the Spirit, a Supernatural Thing. This is the supernatural language that God has given us in these last days. Because he is building a tower. He's building the kingdom of God. I'm holding fast to Smith Wigglesworth's 1939 prophecy. He was right about every phase that was coming that we've already talked about this week. He hit first three out of the park. Hit them perfect. I believe if that's the case, he's hit this fourth one also. This greatest revival that the world has ever seen. I believe the gifts are going to flow from it's going to be Joel's army this time. Not so much pulpit driven as it is believers driven. And I believe, he said, it'll be a wave of the gifts. I mean, I believe every gift of the Spirit is going to flow through the body. Hallelujah. Hospitals will be emptied. I believe that. Do you have any? I've never been to St. Jude's Hospital. Sue and I support it because right now, since we can't go in there and supernaturally get the kids out, at least we can help them get the kids out with the best medicine that we have. The thing I love about St. Jude's, no parent has ever given a bill. Did you know that? It's all funded. But I've been to the Children's Hospital here in Tulsa. If you can go in there and not break when you see a 5-year-old kid with blastoma brain cancer, if you ever want to see the devil on planet Earth and what he's capable of doing, you will never convince me that Jesus would leave those kids in that hospital. You'll never convince me. He would empty that thing out in a day. And I think that's exactly what he intends for us to do. Do it in his name. He'll find employment for all those people. Don't you worry. The nurses and the doctors. Thank God for them. He'll find employment for them. Jesus will not leave them in there. Okay. Where in the world? Oh, pray in the Spirit. A supernatural thing. Pray much. And know it is a supernatural move of God that you are releasing every time you pray in the Spirit. For I bring the prayer according to my mind, and I have the power to bring the prayers to pass. Who else can do that? Who else knows what to pray about and in what order? Who else knows how to bring prayers to pass like this? Who else knows how to move on this heart and that heart and reach into an individual's life and heal, deliver, and restore, and bring wisdom and answers and much more? Not only do I use your prayers, but I also know how to tap one here and tap one there to join their prayers to yours so that I can move according to my mind. Pray much in the Spirit. Please remember this. It is a supernatural thing. You want to operate in the supernatural, do you? Pray in the Spirit. You can't do it without God. It's God every time. It is my will and my power being released through you. One thing he needs, our authority. Dave, I believe this one's Dave. I really don't think we know how much it means to him right now where we have come as a body, where we have come as individuals. How delighted he is in that, because he has authority on this earth through us. He's talking about our bodies. And things are changing, and they are changing quickly, though we can't see it. And the faith that we are believing for him, for what he is going to do, there is still one thing that he needs, and it is our authority. The one thing he needs is us to not stay on this path of growth and edification and spending time with him. Edification, praying his will into your life. He loves you so much that he even steps in with his own language, so it can be your authority to get things done that we don't even know need to be done. But through praying in tongues, he says, I've got your authority. Now I can put the direction and the truth in it. It makes it hard to fail. When he created a language for you that you can use while you are mopping, driving, flying, have your mind on something else, yet he is using your authority and praying his will into your life. And then he calls it edification. My goodness. See, I know windshield prayer works. That's all I had in the very beginning of this message. Sue and I came. I was already a wordaholic. I had a lot of word in me. I had a lot of teaching in me. But I didn't have any direction of the Spirit. I had a lot of wrong doctrine in me. Thank you. From TV preachers. Thank you very much. And others. Anyway, so the only thing that really changed, I listened to Dave for about 6 months because I didn't trust preachers as far as I could throw them anymore. But I listened to Dave, and I checked out every verse. I mean, I checked it out. And I didn't know about meditation and whole images as much then as I do now, but I knew enough to know did it fit the context or not. 6 months I checked out his message. And I told Sue one day, I said, I can't find anything wrong with this. I mean, I've checked it out. He's got chapter and verse for everything he's saying. And I made that decision. December of 1992. So I'm going to turn off the CB radio. I was stuck in the cab of that truck 40, 50, 60 hours, sometimes 70 hours a week anyway. I said, I'm just going to turn off the radio. Turn off the whatever, anything in there. I said, I'm just going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. The only thing that changed, you can't drive and read your Bible. Those trucks I drove were industrial. They were loud. All I had was a Walkman. It was too loud. I couldn't hear my Walkman. I tried. So it wasn't like I was hearing the word or messages in the truck, the only variable that changed was prayer. A lot of prayer. 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours, sometimes 70 hours a week. And I'll give my testimony again. When I started doing that, everything Dave said would start to happen began to happen. I mean, he started giving me little, I call them teaching visions, but little pictures to help me understand. He began tearing down false doctrine in me. He tore some of it down right down to the floor, and then he dug a basement. And then we started from there back up. But everything that Dave said would happen began to happen. My understanding, false doctrine got tore down, the right doctrine it got replaced with. He started dealing with me how I deal with my wife and how I treat her and different things. And he's to this day is still going on. But I'm telling you, the only variable, you know, if you're an engineer or a scientist, you want to do an experiment. We want to see what happens if we change this. We only change one thing at a time. You don't change the temperature, and the light at the same time. You just change one. Let's see what happens. Well, in my case, the only thing that changed, it wasn't more study, more word, more anything. I wasn't listening to messages during that time. The only variable was massive amounts of praying in other tongues. And boy, I'm telling you again, everything Dave said would happen began to happen. And I kept record of it best I could at the time. And after just not, wasn't even quite 2 years, he called me full time into the ministry. Isn't that something? Now, I didn't have time to waste. I was already in my late 40s at the time of that. Kind of a late starter, you know. I didn't have no time to waste. But if you don't have no time to waste, we need to get with the program. Don't go back to same old. Kick same old's hiney out of your house. Is that holy enough? Kick same old's hiney out of your house. Change, you rascal. Do it on purpose. I'm going to pray Zama hours a week and then figure out how you're going to do it. Good intentions don't count for anything. I needed to lose weight. I think I'll join a gym. Then I put that off for about 2 years. Then I finally did join a gym. And I found out a horrible thing. Joining a gym doesn't cause you to lose weight. I found out I had to go and actually do stuff. Then I found out another horrible thing. I had to go more than once. I had to do it again and again and again and again and change my diet and so forth. Praying in tongues, it's got to change, man. I want revival. I still believe this. I'm a true believer. I am hooked to this mandate that we will see in our lifetime. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed. I want to watch legs grow out during the service. Thank God. He said if I was running the service, everything would happen. I think it's time to let him run the service. Well, how are we going to do that? Nobody's smart enough to figure that out on our own. There is one that's been sent to help us. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he's available 24/7. I just see him like going with us everywhere. And I know he's in us. Don't write me no letters. But he just goes with Gary all day. Man, going to pray this hour? Going to let me pray through you this hour? No? Okay, you're too busy. Okay. You know, okay. Well, oh yeah, that TV program you like. I forgot. Okay. Maybe in 30 minutes after that, you know. How about now? It's over. Gary, you going to pray? Oh, lunch. I forgot about lunch. Oh, with the lava cake this time? Okay. Aren't you glad I'm not picking on you? And revival tarries. And we go, where's God? And he's going, where's prayer? Where's prayer? I'm here. I'm here. I have every answer you'll ever want. I have all the power you're ever going to want. I'm here. Will you let me? Will you let me mortify? Will you let me edify? Am I preaching okay? I feel like crying. I want to repent again. Because I've been at this a while, and I just, Sue will tell you the truth now. I pray, baby? I get up early before dawn. But I'm telling you, I'm going to crank it up. I'm going to crank it up. You watch and see. Hide and watch. I'm not going to stay the same. I pray the same for you. Are we to the last one? Did we make it that far? Yes. Pray His perfect will. Our tongues for edification. Do you have any idea how important it is that you could have a language turned over to you? Here we go, Zephaniah 3:9 again. This language that He gave us. Perfect language. Pure language, He called it. Do you have any idea how important it is that you could have a language turned over to you that could cover everything He is asking you to do in your life? It is transferred to you, so it releases Him to do it. To pray His perfect will for you in that tongues of edification. He said, for in this, I have created a way that you could edify yourself. When He said that, I saw you praying in the edification that came from God. That opens it up for Him to move freely in your life. Especially towards what He has for you to do in this lifetime. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But why? It addresses anything. You being sick, your call, something you're supposed to do. What do you think happens? You start praying in tongues, and He is borrowing or using your authority to give the power over to you so that He can move in and you can go forward. That is edification. How many is going to pray just a little more in other tongues? I do want to remind you of one thing, because it may have been a while for some of you. Listen, when you start really doing this message, praying in tongues, fasting, doing everything that's the four pillars, as we call them, the seven pillars here, which includes waiting on God. And anyway, we've taught all that before. Remember this: what happens when you start doing this? He starts. It's like when you're going to purify gold. Don't be surprised if when you really get serious about doing this that you start acting worse. How many know what I'm talking about here? Can I get a witness from people? Because what's happening, the dross is coming. Just like if you heat gold, if there's any impurities in it, that's going to start coming to the surface. Don't forget that part. Say, oh my goodness, I was acting better before I started praying. That stuff's coming to the surface where even we all saw it a long time ago in you. Yes, you're just now seeing it. We loved you anyway. But now you're seeing it. Don't forget that part, because the devil will tell you it's not working. No, it's working perfectly. It's working perfectly. Start fasting and yell at everybody. Kick the neighbor's dog. No, he's bringing that stuff to the surface. Then you can deal with it. But you'll permanently deal with it. And you won't have that anymore. Glory to God. So don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You know what's happening? Because I'm trying to get His permission to have a prayer line like we've had at the end of many of the services, where we line everybody up. We get, you know, Bronk and Jim and others maybe to pray. But I'm not getting His permission to do it exactly like that. But you know why? He's trying to get your mindset away from the pulpit ministry. Now, it's fine. Listen, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. So forth. I mean, there's a time. But in this season, He's not trying to build us up at all. He's trying to build you up. We are your servants trying to hold you up to God and hold you up and say, know who you are. You're a child of God. You're a child of light. Quit letting the devil tell you you're no good. You're a child of light. You got God on the inside of you, you house of God. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, we just need to strengthen that where that presence. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Second Chronicles somewhere. I know about where it is. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Okay. This is Solomon's temple. This is at the stage where they brought, everything was ready, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant for the first time into the Holy of Holies. What's that a type of? That's the new birth, is it not? Okay. Now, if we started at chapter 5, verse 2, we'd read all that. Just trust me, that's what's happened. They have brought the Ark of the Covenant and put it in the Holy of Holies. Starting in verse 11. Now, come on, feet, stay here. Come on. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them, now notice, does this number have any significance to you? 120 priests sounding with trumpets. How many were in the upper room? 120 began speaking with other tongues. They were sounding like trumpets, prophesying, giving glory to God. That is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As they began to worship and in type and shadow speak with other tongues, look what happens. It came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, here we go again, were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they had lifted up their voice and the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, worship and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house, you are the house of God, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Why? For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When you're worshiping, lifting your voice like the 120, praying in other tongues, making music and melody unto the Lord, singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking in tongues, you're filling your house with the very glory of the Lord. I believe that glory is going to come. Another verse that I didn't look up, it said, the glory so filled the temple that the people outside bowed with their faces to the pavement because the glory had so filled the house. Now that reminds me of Smith Wigglesworth. I'm trying to close. I really am. I believe with each, now not a pulpit anymore. See, we thank God for Smith. I believe he wants to so fill the individual house. Your house. You're a house of God. You are the temple of God. Worship. Praying in tongues, edify, edify, mortify that flesh, mortify that, edify, edify, that the glory of the Lord fills the house. You can't walk into Walmart. You can't go to the post office. You can't stop and get gas without that presence. I believe people are going to be on their faces. Not in awe of you, but in awe of the glory of God. You're going to have a harvest in your... I'm so glad to be alive now that I get to be part of this. When you go home, kick same old hiney out of your house. Don't do the same thing you did before. Be changed. I'm telling you again, I believe it with all my heart. This is a historical conference. We are in that transition now, going from the teaching wave to the ministry wave. Joel's army, where his presence and his power is manifest through every soldier in the army. Soldier on. Soldier on. Hallelujah. Now, if you have a disease or a sickness in your body that you've been standing against and you would like prayer, Let me listen. Yeah, I know. Okay, what's going on there? He says, they want you guys to lay hands on them and speak a word to them. And he says, I want to speak to a word to them without you laying hands on them. So I'm not going to disobey him. We've done that before. We've had lines where every person practically would get a word, and sometimes a word from each of us. Y'all remember that one conference many years ago? There were so many of us praying. We thought we were going to shorten the prayer line by having, you know, five or six ministers praying. No, they just get through with Bronx line. They'd come over and get in my line. Then they'd go over and get in Jim's line and Dave's line. And after what, hour and a half? Bronx praying and praying. And they say, are you finished? He said, is Gary finished? No, Gary's still praying. No, I'm still praying for this. He couldn't quit before me, you know. I love it. But he's not letting me do it. I would do it. My natural tendency is to do it because of tradition. But he's saying, no. No, you can hear. Listen, you can hear God for yourself. You can. And if you say, no, I'm not. Yes, you can. You can. You may not hear him exactly the same way that I hear him or Bronk hears him, but he is your God. You spend time with him in prayer, you will get it. I like to say, he is smarter than you are dumb. He's smarter than I am dumb, I'll tell you for sure. He will get it across to you if you will praise. But if you're sick, if you're battling something physical in your body and you've already been standing and you need prayer, please come put your toes on the green line, as we say.